The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Shapiro, and today we're going to discuss leveraging LinkedIn ads for B2B growth. Joining us is AJ Wilcox, who is the founder of B2Linked, which helps B2B companies get more sales conversations with their ideal prospects through custom-tailored LinkedIn ad strategies. And today, AJ and I are going to discuss how you can leverage LinkedIn ads to build your pipeline. All right, here's the first part of my conversation with the founder of B2Linked, AJ Wilcox. AJ, welcome back to the MarTech Podcast, buddy.
Ben, so excited to be back. Thanks so much for having me again.
Great to have you here on the podcast. Excited to try this again. This is our second take of the podcast, so hopefully we're able to record more of our conversation this time. Nobody's ever going to hear it, but the last time I pressed record, we got about 10 seconds in where you were just starting to tell us a little bit about how to grow your pipeline using LinkedIn ads for B2B. I'm starting to trial LinkedIn ads to promote my podcast production business. Reached out to you. You gave me some great tips. I want you to share them with the rest of the world. For everybody who hasn't done LinkedIn ads at scale, where do we start?
First is understanding how the platform works. If you've ever marketed on something like Meta ads, you know, Facebook ads, a lot of this is going to seem really familiar, but LinkedIn is kind of its own beast. Plus, there are a whole bunch of pitfalls that LinkedIn, quite frankly, wants you to fall into so that you'll pay too much. So the things that we talk about on this episode, we're going to save you some cash, teach you the things to avoid so you're not spending way too much.
Turns out cash is king, so I'm greatly appreciative already. One of the reasons I always shied away from advertising on LinkedIn was they had a pretty high CPM floor. I think it used to be like $5 or minimum. When you're thinking about what you need to spend in a LinkedIn campaign, how do we benchmark against what some of the other platforms would charge?
From my experience, I've seen costs per click when you're doing something in B2B on Meta being anywhere between about $3 to $5. That's per time someone clicks on your ads. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn, we average between $10 to $16 a click if you're targeting in North America. So you're immediately looking at that going, wow, that's 2 to 3 times more expensive. AJ, could this be worth it for us? And absolutely, like my answer out the gate is it has to depend on your business. If you have a small or a low lifetime value of your product, like if you are selling a SaaS software that the average customer sticks around for 6 months and you charge $200 a month, chances are no, you're probably not going to be able to recoup your costs. But if you charge $10,000 or more over the lifetime of a deal that you close, that's all of a sudden when I think LinkedIn ads starts to make a ton of sense. And it's because the quality of the clicks is so, so much higher than you could ever get from something like Facebook.
Now, on Meta's platform, Facebook, Instagram specifically, you can get pretty tight with your targeting. I could target people that are interested in marketing that are 35 to 55 years old in the United States that speak English, might even be able to get down into some of their professional certifications. But I can't necessarily say I want directors and above that worked at companies with a certain number of revenue or more. Is it just the targeting that makes the clicks for LinkedIn so much more valuable?
Yeah, I sure think so. I've listened to so many Facebook ads experts and Instagram ads experts over the last year, 2 years, and they all seem to be saying the same thing right now, which is ditch targeting altogether. The system is so much better at finding people for you than your targeting ever will be. So just leave it broad and let it do its thing. But what that generates is a whole bunch of leads that your sales team's going to throw out 90% of them because they don't fit your criteria of being the right level of seniority or the right title at the right size of company. Whereas on LinkedIn, we get to define all of that right up front. So the only reason that someone would see our ads is if they already were our perfect ideal customer.
So when I went to LinkedIn ads to run my first LinkedIn ad campaign in what was a relatively long time, probably a couple of years, I came with an ABM list, a target account list, and said, all right, I've got 500 people that I want to reach out to start to promote my brand. I had a relatively tight target, not looking specifically at targeting job descriptions or a specific company. I already had a list of people. Is it better to come with your own data and use the LinkedIn platform to market to known consumers? Or are you finding more success when you're able to target based on who LinkedIn thinks is in your ICP?
Well, taking a step back, when you are marketing for B2B, we know inherent to that, there's going to be usually more people involved in the purchase decision. These sales cycles are going to be longer, and you're not going to close someone with a single ad click. So what's so beautiful about when you bring your own data, you brought your list of 500 people, you can bring a list of 500 companies, and we overlay other things like seniority on top. Lots of different ways that you can bring data. But what you're doing is you're giving LinkedIn warm audiences. And warm audiences are going to be a lot closer to making that decision than cold audiences. And so if you're looking to get results fast, doing it your way is absolutely the best. That being said, it's probably going to be limited in scale. You might not be spending the budget that you have set aside. And so then I think expanding out to, okay, let's get some cold audiences that from the interactions that we get there, we can fuel more warm audiences who might be willing to talk to someone in sales.
There's a demand generation portion of advertising, and then there's a demand capture portion. And my assumption with starting a LinkedIn campaign was we'd basically be doing a little bit of both. I Hear Everything, my podcast production company, I don't think it's a household name. Maybe for the MarTech podcast listeners, they've heard of it. But for the most part, we're relatively unknown. So I'm putting up LinkedIn ads, trying to get my brand in front of the right consumers and also get them to schedule a meeting to have some sort of an introduction, see if they're interested in podcasting. You mentioned, well, you might not spend your entire budget. My budget was $500, right? A small budget. We're just testing out initially. And I think there was like 300 to 500 people that were on our list. We had a match rate that was 50%. I'm going after a couple hundred people here trying to get my ads in front of them. And I think I've spent like $250 so far in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the campaign. I'm not actually getting to spend my budget. Unfortunately, I'm also not getting anybody to sign up to talk to me. What am I doing wrong, and how can other marketers avoid the same mistakes I've made?
Well, I'll tell you, Ben, I don't think you've made any mistakes here. This is what I recommend for all new advertisers to the platform is try going right for the kill and see, is there enough latent demand built up in the marketplace for people to say, yes, I'm interested. I want to book a demo or talk to someone. The worst thing that can happen is we're asking too much too soon of people, and the demand is not ready to capture yet. We're still in the generation stage. So I think that's probably what you've experienced so far. It's like, oh, these people, even though you've identified that they're perfect, they haven't self-identified yet. And we probably need to warm them up a little bit first. And we can do that through cold audience targeting, which you're already doing. And then we can retarget them later and serve subsequent messages.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on 2 channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. All right, so everyone who is working at a MarTech company that generates between $10 to $100 million in revenue is in a director above in marketing. You are perfect, and we are trying to target you. So don't be shy when you see the ads. Come on over and let's talk. Now, I'm using multiple different channels to try to reach my audience. I'm voicing who I want to prospect on my podcast. I'm reaching them with LinkedIn ads. Let's talk a little bit about that cross-channel usage. How do you figure out ways to supplement your marketing to make sure that your LinkedIn ads are effective? What else should you be doing?
Well, I think there are two things right off the bat. Number one is when you set up your conversion tracking, one of the things that LinkedIn's going to tell you, they're going to tell you your number of people who filled out the form and converted for you, but they're also going to tell you your view-through conversions. So let's say that you get zero conversions from your LinkedIn ads, but it's showing like four view-through conversions. What that tells you is the same people who you're serving ads to ended up converting a different way through a different channel. And this is, like, to me, it lends a lot of credibility to the cross-channel marketing that I'm doing, because I know, hey, LinkedIn probably had some sort of an influence here if they saw my ads there and then went and Googled the brand or then responded on the next thing.
I had a meeting pop up on my calendar for tomorrow with somebody that I've never met, never heard of, and never exchanged an email from. I've been spending, I don't know, $25 a day or so on LinkedIn for the last 3 weeks. I spent a total of $225, generated a grand whopping 15 clicks. Maybe the person that's coming up in my calendar is actually a view-through conversion. Now, one of the problems that I'm having is my conversion rate is 0.36. It doesn't sound impressive. Maybe it's not something I should talk about on a podcast. When you have a low click-through rate, is that a targeting problem? Is that a creative problem? Is it a frequency problem? How do I figure out what is keeping my click-through rate so low?
Yeah, so if you have a click-through rate on LinkedIn anywhere between about 0.45%, so a little less than 0.5%, up to 1%, you're doing great. Anything under that, it's most likely a messaging problem, but it's only possible to re-message a specific offer so many different ways. So what I like to do is test different messaging, test different imagery, and if none of them can get over that like 0.5% threshold, then I go, okay, it's probably the offer that I'm actually describing here. Maybe in this case, they're not ready to hop on a call until they've done more research. So my ads should be more of like, hey, here's free value, free information about podcasting. And then I'm going to retarget you after that. Then it'll probably be a lot higher the next round.
I have three pieces of creative, one which was specifically meant to be garbage, because I wanted to see what the click-through rate would look like on bad creative. And the click-through rate on the ad that I knew was terrible was 0.22%. Unfortunately, the click-through rate on two of the ads that I thought were pretty good was 0.21%. So clearly, I don't know how to make social media creative. Now, fortunately, I had an ad that was 0.43 and 0.46. I have met your minimum threshold. So I should be killing all the other creatives and just piping everybody through this one ad, right?
I think it's probably worthwhile. And LinkedIn's going to do this naturally too. If you have five creative in that campaign and you're looking at the spend that's gone across all of them, chances are if you look at the spend for the top two, those are the ones that are the highest performing. So LinkedIn's probably saying, ooh, these ones are performing great. Let's send all the impressions to them. They're probably doing your job for you there.
Well, thank you, LinkedIn, for doing my job. Unfortunately, the campaign hasn't been performant. The goal here is to drive pipeline. I'm sure everybody that's listening to this podcast who has either done LinkedIn ads or is thinking about them is like, I don't just want to be building brand, but I want to be doing direct response. If the go for the kill strategy isn't one that's going to be effective immediately, What are the next steps that you should be taking to not only build that awareness, know, like, and trust, but then get somebody to want to buy something?
Well, I think you definitely can go right for the kill. The very first things I would say is, let's launch some campaigns to warm audiences. These are audiences that you already know. They already know, like, and trust you. This could be newsletter subscribers. This could be past leads that haven't yet converted. This could be past customers that you may want to reinvigorate. So this could be website visitors that you've been retargeting, or at least building that list. So number one, start with warm audiences because they're going to turn into business the fastest. But then number two, start thinking about who those cold audiences are that you want to start getting through that process of getting them to know, like, and trust you, so that your warm campaigns, these retargeting campaigns, will show to them when they're ready to make the purchase.
But is the goal, when you're reaching cold campaigns, to get them to click and buy, or is it to get them information about your products or services? Like, if I'm reaching out to somebody that's never met me, should I be running a video that shows what I Hear Everything does and how seamless the podcast production page is? Or is it a flat image that's just like, hey, you should come buy a podcast?
Oh, I love video for these cold stages. I think about it this way, like, how many times do you have to read blog posts of mine before you feel like you know, like, and trust me? Versus how long would you have to listen to me talk in a video before you're like, ooh, I like that guy. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
It was instant in my case.
Thank you. And I think that's the case. It's like, you'd probably have to click on 5 or 10 ads going to blog posts or guides to get that same level of rapport that you'd have with maybe 2-3 video ads being served. So I love that idea. I think it comes down to what type of video is going to be the most effective at getting this audience to know, like, and trust you. Is it going to be like, hey, I'm Ben and I'm talking about this product that we have? Or is it going to be, hey, I'm Ben, I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of podcasting? Or I'm Ben and I'm going to teach you the ins and outs of things to avoid when you're starting your own podcast or when you're running a podcast. Just depending on what their pain point is that they're trying to solve or they're going to give the most attention to, that's where you start. And then you can also say, anyone who's watched at least 50% or anyone who's watched at least 75% of one of these videos, now I'm going to retarget them in the next campaign. And now I can keep talking to them in sequence.
Build awareness, build affinity, drive conversions. It seems like there's three different phases here that we're focused on. Is there a silver bullet where you can take a cold audience, educate them, and get them to convert? Or do you actually want to think about running different campaigns for different purposes?
Here's how we thought about it. We have this know, like, and trust, and we broke it into three separate categories: our get to know the company phase, our get to like us, and get to trust us. And we realized this was going to take some time. We have to walk people through each one of those phases. Just as a flyer, we went, okay, well, let's put know, like, and trust all in one video. And it's going to be a longer video, but let's see. And it was crazy. We actually did get leads from it immediately from the cold stage. And granted, these leads were not great quality. They got on the call and were like, so who are you guys and what makes you different from competitors?
I feel like I know you. I definitely like you, but I'm not sure if I trust you.
Exactly. So the video was effective at getting people to fill out the form early on, but they did still need additional nurturing and educating. So I liked thinking of it in three separate stages and giving them an opportunity to become more educated. So by the time I have the call with them, they are well educated and they are like, okay, where do I sign? I already know I'm in.
Talk to me about the building pipeline process. So when you're advertising on LinkedIn, someone like me who's relatively new, just dabbling, testing, trying to figure out if the platform makes sense for them, driving someone to a click or having them schedule a meeting doesn't necessarily mean that they are pipeline. How often should you remarket? What are the stages which you should think about remarketing once you've actually engaged with a process, once you've actually engaged with a prospect?
I think this is actually really important to go back to this other thought of marketing cross-channel, because LinkedIn is a network that people don't come to all the time and spend tons of time on like they do on Google and Meta properties. So I think it's so important that, yeah, when you drive traffic to your website from LinkedIn, from everywhere else, that's great. But if you're just marketing on LinkedIn, you're waiting for them to come back to LinkedIn, which is something they might log in like once or twice a month for. So what I love to do is, when you drive this traffic to your website, retarget it on Google, retarget it on Meta, as well as LinkedIn. And now if your messaging is all matching, wherever they go on the web, they're going to keep being exposed and reminded of your brand. So I love that idea. The next point here is, I think as you're building this pipeline, be thinking about what is going to be the best experience for your prospect. And for me, we've pretty much ungated everything at this point. So it used to be that in the middle of the funnel, we would have someone fill out a form and then try to continue to market from there. What we found is if I have a really good conversion rate on gated content, only 20% of the people that I paid to get there are going to engage with my content. And I feel like we have really good content. We ungated it. So 100% of those people can engage with the content. And we know that on the, hopefully this third stage, they're going to be that much more likely to know, like, and trust us at that point.
Here's always my fear with the notion of ungated content and the ability to retarget is, I'm going to spend somewhere between $5 to $16 to drive a click to get someone onto my website or to hopefully schedule a call. But if they don't, now I'm retargeting. So now I'm spending another $10 to $15 to try to get them to click to engage with another piece of content. And all of a sudden, I'm driving someone to click 5-10 times. I'm not spending $10 to $16. I'm spending $100 to $160. When you think about what it might cost to drive somebody into a B2B transaction, using LinkedIn specifically, is there any range that you think is the total spend to acquire a customer or schedule a demo?
This one totally depends on every brand we've worked with. We've worked with several brands who've gotten their cost per acquisition on LinkedIn ads below $1,000. And if they have a lifetime value of $15,000, $20,000, like, you can calculate that profitability. It's really high. We've also had clients who, after $20,000, $30,000, still haven't closed a lead. So totally depends. But I would say if your lifetime value is over $10,000, I think that's when it really starts to make sense. But it doesn't hurt to try out with a very small budget and just see. Who knows? Maybe you're going to be the exception. We've seen clients like that too, where they put in their credit card and immediately they get a sale.
Boy, wouldn't it be nice. Something tells me I'm not going to be that exception, mostly considering what our click-through rates are. AJ, any last words for the marketers that are listening, thinking about LinkedIn ads just from a pipeline development perspective?
I think just very first off, as you're going through and building your campaigns on LinkedIn, I mentioned $10 to $16 per click is the average, but especially on small testing budgets, you shouldn't be paying anywhere near that. So as you're going through and building your campaign, make sure you select the bidding manually by the cost per click and bid significantly lower than what LinkedIn recommends to you, because of course they're trying to get you to go higher. And that's going to give you your best chance of success right out of the gate, is paying $5, $6, $7 a click rather than the $10 to $16 that everyone else might be paying.
You know, LinkedIn is a channel that I think we're all familiar with. And for someone who's doing their own marketing internally, we've relied on using our owned and earned properties to try to drive business. And this is really kind of our first foray for I Hear Everything to start thinking about actually advertising and driving traffic. I'm sure there are other marketers that are in this place as well. It turns out it's pretty complicated. As much as we've all sort of messed around and run a Facebook and an Instagram campaign here or there, the nuance with different channels is actually what makes the difference in performance. It's just not as simple as splashing up your ads, hopefully targeting people with the right directions. You have to think of the stage that they're in, the creative, your targeting strategy, and also the platform makes a huge difference in how effective your ad campaigns are. And that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks for listening to my conversation with AJ Wilcox, the founder of B2Linked. Join us again tomorrow when AJ and I are going to talk about the best MarTech to integrate with your LinkedIn ads. If you can't wait until our next episode and you'd like to learn more about AJ, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter. His handle is WilcoxAJ, WilcoxAJ, or you can visit his company's website, which is b2linked.com. That's B, the number 2, linked.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MarTechPod, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.